year, at least one in four Americans is diagnosed with a heart condition. At that point, there are some very important decisions to make for your future. The harsh reality may be you are left with more questions than answers. This is where the Heart Rhythm Center podcast can help. We are your what, why, and how of palpitations, heart rhythm disorders, pacemakers, and defibrillators. Welcome your host, Dr. Jeffrey L. Williams, board certified in internal medicine, cardiovascular disease, and clinical cardiac electrophysiology. The information included in this podcast is for educational purposes only. It is not intended or implied to be professional medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice. Listeners should always consult their healthcare providers to determine the appropriateness of the information for their own situation, or if they have any questions regarding medical conditions or treatment plans.
This is Dr. Williams, and welcome to What Are Palpitations? Podcast 12, The Psychosocial Impact of Arrhythmias and Conclusions. We've talked about the different types of arrhythmias and treatment options, but it's important to recognize that heart rhythm abnormalities could cause or worsen emotional distress and have other psychosocial impacts. Adjustment to life after being diagnosed with heart rhythm abnormalities. One of the most important aspects of a patient's life after being diagnosed with any arrhythmia is understanding the risks, if any, of the particular type of arrhythmia. One can minimize this by saying, you have an arrhythmia and you have to get used to it. Unfortunately, it is not this simple. Many arrhythmias, such as atrioventricular nodal reentrant tachycardia, or AVNRT, premature atrial contractions, and premature ventricular contractions, are not life-threatening, and I try to stress the benign, although annoying from a symptomatic standpoint, nature of these heart rhythm abnormalities. In patients with significant symptoms, these can be treated with medications and or EP studies with ablations. Atrial fibrillation can be treated with blood thinners to minimize possibly life-threatening strokes, as well as antiarrhythmics and or ablations to decrease symptoms. Similarly, ventricular tachycardia can be treated with antiarrhythmics and or ablations to decrease symptoms. Patients have accepted their arrhythmias when they understand their risks and treatment options, and that quality of life can be restored in many, if not all, patients. Not only can emotional stress cause cardiac events, but there is some evidence that certain personality traits can affect the long-term prognosis of heart rhythm patients. Warning signs of patients who may have difficulty adjusting to their arrhythmias and possibly have more heart rhythm abnormalities include patients with high levels of pre-diagnosis concerns, as well as individuals who experience excessive worrying, depression, negativity, and anxiety. Quality of life in heart rhythm patients. Quality of life refers to the general well-being of a patient. Most heart rhythm trials evaluated the burden of arrhythmias, but did not particularly study the effects of these heart rhythm problems on a patient's general well-being. Atrial fibrillation is the most common heart rhythm disorder resulting in hospitalization. This arrhythmia, and most other supraventricular arrhythmias, is rarely life-threatening, but it can cause significant distress and result in a major reduction in a patient's quality of life. Our current focus of managing these arrhythmias aims to reduce symptoms and prevent medical complications. The patient's psychological well-being is an important consideration of care providers. How do arrhythmias affect you and your family? Not only can patients with arrhythmias experience depression or anxiety, but their life partners and family members may also experience psychological issues surrounding heart rhythm management. This is often a two-way street. I think the most important aspect of dealing with heart rhythm abnormalities is understanding the patient's condition. Clearly, this discussion is an important resource in helping patients to understand arrhythmias. Additionally, the significant other can accompany the patient to the office visits. This serves to inform the significant other about the disease process and also helps the patient to have another set of ears listening to the doctor's explanation and treatment recommendations. Lifestyle changes such as diet and exercise not only affect the patient but the significant other as well. When family and friends participate in these lifestyle changes, it often leads to a greater treatment success for the patient. Finally, depression can be an issue for cardiac patients. If the patient or family member exhibits signs or symptoms of depression, such as anger, withdrawal, difficulty sleeping, or sadness, it is important to talk about it together. If symptoms are very concerning, it's just as important to talk to your doctors and other healthcare providers. arrhythmias in children and young adults. It's important to convey to patients that arrhythmias can be troublesome, but most patients will live long and healthy lives. The patient will benefit from a strong community of family or friends. Family and friends should have a keen eye for any signs of anxiety or depression and not hesitate to seek out help if they are worried about the patient. As the children grow older, they will seek out more independence and need more information about and control over their medical conditions. Family and friends should encourage the patient to participate in managing his or her own health. Along the way, it is necessary to educate important adults in the child's life, such as teachers, coaches, and family friends, about the particular heart rhythm abnormality and the child's health condition. Can you have palpitations without arrhythmias? The short answer is yes. I see many patients who have symptoms of palpitations with clear demonstration that there is no associated arrhythmia. After a thorough evaluation demonstrating no obvious heart abnormality, the most important thing we can offer the patient is reassurance that there is no obvious heart rhythm abnormality. Conversely, I have also seen patients with over 30 years of symptoms of palpitations and multiple evaluations by physicians, and we were finally able to find an arrhythmia. During those 30 years, we were just never able to document the occurrence of an arrhythmia. Some of these patients had symptoms that are not associated with arrhythmia, but ultimately, we were able to diagnose their arrhythmia. Be patient with your care provider, but always consider a second opinion as an option. I want to thank you for joining me in this discussion about what are palpitations. Millions of people have palpitations and arrhythmias, and as the population ages, more and more people will be living with advanced heart disease and battling heart rhythm abnormalities. Hopefully, this comprehensive guide will provide patients and their families with a full explanation of the what, why, and how of heart rhythm abnormalities. Our discussion provided an in-depth study of heart rhythm abnormalities from initial patient evaluation through medical management and possible EP studies with ablations, as well as the issues that may arise during long-term follow-up. I welcome the incorporation of this discussion into a typical plan of care for patients with heart rhythm abnormalities, beginning with the initial discussions in the primary care provider's office, to serving as a long-term reference for patients who are undergoing treatment for arrhythmias. Indeed, I have found this discussion to be a very useful component of the informed consent process of my patients during the treatment of heart rhythm issues.
Thank you for listening to the Heart Rhythm Center. If you have enjoyed this episode and would like to access extensive explanations of topics discussed today, together with helpful illustrations, head over to www.heart-rhythm-center.com, where a full list of available publications on Amazon can be easily accessed. That's www.heart-rhythm-center.com. And please subscribe to the Heart Rhythm Center blog, as well as Dr. Williams' author page on Amazon, where his books discussing arrhythmias, pacemakers, and defibrillators are available in print and electronic Kindle versions.